With men, it's impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. With God, all things are possible.
I know my God has made the way for me. I know my God has made the way for me.
What things are you believing to accomplish? Does the world see it as impossible? Kenneth Copeland has good news to share with you today. Join him as he explains how all things are possible to those who believe God.
We're going to be looking at several different verses of Scripture this evening. Look, if you will, at the Gospel of Luke, first chapter, and also the 18th chapter. And then the book of Matthew, also the book of Mark. Oh, Lord Myrtle's going to preach the whole thing tonight. Amen. Yeah, you and Myrtle just sit there. We'll get her done. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I do love the Word of God. On every shell of my being. Just magnificent. Now, let's read first from Matthew 19. Hey! Praise God. Matthew, the 19th chapter and the 26th verse. We'll read down into that. We'll read verse 23. And then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, say, well, Brother Copeland, how does that really messes me up after what we've all heard? No, don't misunderstand. You have to go back and see what he's talking about. He's talking about a man who trusted in uncertain riches. Well, that would be part of that Babylonian system, wouldn't it? Man trying to meet his own needs with his own money. And that's who he was referring to here. And again, I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's extremely hard for that man that trusts in money to turn around and trust in God. Very difficult thing. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Now, that doesn't sound like a bunch of poor people, does it? Isn't that amazing? How the whole world thinks Jesus and all of his disciples, a bunch of poor boys who couldn't get by from day to day, walking around barefooted, hunting for a handout. Nothing could have been any further from the truth. He picked wealthy, strong, powerful men that became his staff. And the one that had the worst trouble with finances and with greed was Judas, and he was the treasurer. Now, poor people don't have treasurers. He was the comptroller of that ministry, and he was really hung up on it. And he had his opportunity. He had his opportunity to repent. Jesus gave it to him. Now, and the rest of them said, who can be saved? If it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, we've all had it. Now, listen to what he said. Red words win, right? Jesus looked at them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All right. Now, let's look then at Mark chapter 9. Mark 9, 22. And let's back up there to the 19th verse. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. Now, you see, he's talking to faithless people. Didn't believe anything except what they could see or feel or hear. Now, faithless. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. He asked his father, how long is it ago since this came on him? And he said, of a child. Oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, what I'm about to show you is extremely important, and it's most of the time overlooked. And the reason it's overlooked is because of the problem that I'm about to show you. Jesus asked him, how long is it ago since this came unto him? That's all he asked him. He answered it and said, of a child. He should have shut up right there. That answered the question. That's what Jesus asked him. But then he just went on and on and on. He wasn't listening to what Jesus answered. Ask him. He wants to hear himself. He wants to rehearse this problem. And he rehearsed himself right out of what little faith he had. Then he said, it's cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. What's he trying to do? He's trying to talk Jesus into doing something, and Jesus was already ready to do something. What he was actually doing was trying to talk Jesus into something. Well, he's out of line with that. He's not listening to what Jesus asked him, or he'd have just answered it and hushed. But he's going on and on and on, thinking he'll be heard by much say. The problem is, this was what was in him. This is what he was full of, and he couldn't talk without it coming out. Now, it stirred him up to the point where he said, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Look what Jesus said. If you can believe. He dumped it right back on him. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the father of the child cried out with tears and said, I believe. Oh, God, help mine unbelief. He came under conviction about what Jesus said. Thank God he did. Amen. But now notice, if you can believe, all things are possible to him. Now, over there in that other scripture, Jesus said, all things are possible with God. With men, this is impossible, but all things are possible with God. Here, all things are possible to him that believes. With God and to him that believes. Now then, Luke chapter 1, if you didn't bring a Bible tonight, look on with somebody else. You need to be putting your eyes on this. Luke chapter 1 and the 37th verse. Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, all things are possible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. Verse 17, Lord God, behold, look, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by your great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you. Nothing too hard for God. Then why do things look so hard to us? You know, we get to a place in our thinking where, man alive, I mean, that's just about as far as I can go. I don't see how God could do any better than that. I mean, this is just too big. This is too ugly. This is too horrible. You can just go on and on and on. It's not too hard for God. It's too hard for you. Nothing too hard for God. Hey, yeah, but I just wonder if he'd do it for me. That's what that guy was wondering about his son. Will he do it for me? He knew he could do it. That's the reason he came up there. He liked to talk himself into leaving, but that's the reason he was there. But his problem was, will you? You remember the leper that came to Jesus said, I know you can, but will you? That's a big question in the heart of a lot of Christian people, and that's the reason I continue to tell you that faith begins where the will of God is known. Now, when that man came up to Jesus and said, I know you can heal me. He's a leper now. I know you can if you will. Now, if go get the different translations and look at the rendering of the Greek text there. He actually said, I most certainly will. One translation said, well, of course I will. And what happened? He was delivered immediately. Well, it wasn't just Jesus running the leprosy off. This man's faith just leapt to the surface. He already believed that he could, and suddenly now he believes that he will. And all of a sudden, it don't look hard to him anymore. Jesus got bigger in his eyes than that disease. Now we're going somewhere with that. You stay with me, all right? So, notice now, all things are possible with God. Then, to those who believe, all things are possible. Nothing impossible. Those that believe. So what's going on here? Well, let me ask you this. I'm not going to ask you that. The Lord told me to do this for you. Look at the 28th chapter of Matthew, and we'll let Jesus answer it. Won't have to ask you. Well, I probably will after I read it. Hallelujah, Matthew 28. Now, this is going to be one of those moments that, oh, ha, yes. Let me remind you again. Luke 1:37. With God, all things are possible. Luke 18:27. With men, it's impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is too hard for God. To him that believes, all things are possible. Now, look at Jesus, 19th, 20th verse, 20th chapter of Matthew. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And look, I am with you always. With men, it's impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. With God, all things are possible. I will be with you always. Amen. Who you with? God. Are you with men or are you with God?
God.
Then there's not anything impossible.
Amen.
When you believe.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is where the two come together. I think I mentioned this to you the other night. when I was a kid, a young boy, I just really enjoyed traveling with my dad. And particularly in the summertime, and driving down the road, this was a big thing between me and my dad. And there'd be big flatbed trailer sitting out there beside the road, some farmer selling his watermelons. Ah, son. Yeah. And he'd have a big, number two, maybe a number three wash tub sitting out there full of ice, and got some of them watermelons ice down. My daddy'd pull in there and say, "You want a watermelon, boy?" I said, "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, daddy, see if it got a yellow one." I like them yellow watermelons. So we'd get a watermelon, and I'm telling you, you just rarely ever find my daddy didn't have his pocket knife in his pocket. And he'd take that pocket knife, and the blade, you know, wasn't about that long, and he'd stick it in there as far as he'd go, and he'd run it all the way around that watermelon, and then he'd find a rock, and he'd bust that watermelon over that rock, and half of it's his and half of it's mine. Glory to God, man. And I'll tell you what, my daddy could do no wrong. Amen. Anyway, I noticed something. I'd watch him. I would see him. His process was always the same. He taught it to me. We'd go into a town or wherever we were, it didn't make any difference. He'd meet people. He liked people. He'd go around and visit with people. And he'd just walk in the store and smile real big and introduce himself. And during World War II, when things were so scarce, I watched him one day. Now, remember, he's blessed. The blessing is working in him and on him. And he would have appointments with young people and their parents. He'd go to the high school first and meet the high school principal or maybe the superintendent of school and identify himself and with his credentials and so forth that he was representative in Drawn Business College, and these people had inquired, and so he'd go and he'd have appointments after school. So most of the day there, particularly all afternoon, would be free time for him. I watched him one day. Back in those days, those of you not old enough remember World War II. I'm telling you, it was different, man. Everything was shortage. Dear me. Rationed or short, and certain things that were just hard to get your hands on, and one of them was good cheese, because you couldn't hardly find it. Well, this town we were in, most of our Texas towns are this way. They're a town square, courthouse in the middle, and then you have stores on the streets go all the way around the square. And he'd just start around the square, and he'd just go in and meet people and speak to them, you know, and talk to them. And he'd go around, and he walked in this butcher shop, and there was a whole pone of cheese. Great big thing, about that big around, about like that, kind of come up to a little point on the top of it. My dad walked in there, and he said, "Man, you got cheese." He said, "Yeah, you want some of it?" Dad said, "Yeah, is it ration?" "No, ain't no ration. Only you have all of it you want." Dad said, "What you want for the whole thing?" And he told him. My daddy just bought the whole thing. Walked out of there, I thought, "Are we going to eat that?" I'm thinking about the watermelons, you know. Is this all we going to get? I don't like that cheese. I mean, what's the matter with him? Let's get a watermelon. Dear Lord. He took that cheese. Took it. His car was parked right there on the square. He took that cheese and set it down in the trunk, and he sliced it up. And then he started around the square. And he'd walk in, and he'd introduce himself, and he'd say, "You know what? I've got some extra cheese if you'd like to have some of it." "Oh, have you really?" "Yeah." He sold that whole thing in just a few minutes. Just made a bucket of money And he's just smiling all the way around the square. This is a tither. It's just an idea came to him. And sold on that cheese. Well, why didn't somebody else get that cheese? How come that butcher didn't have sense enough to do that? The blessing showed it to my dad. Now then, let's talk about all things are possible to those that believe. And we have to look not only at Jesus, but you remember we read in the Word yesterday, look unto Abraham, the rock from whence you were dug. And what did he promise? He said, I called him and I blessed him and I turned his waste places and his desert places into the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. Well, that's what he got planned for you and me. He has a place for us. He has grace for us. Abraham believed God. Now, why doesn't the scripture talk to us more about looking at Jesus? Well, I'll tell you. You expect Jesus to walk by faith. You expect him to do the impossible, not realizing that it wasn't any easier on him than it was Abraham. In fact, it was harder because he walked it perfect. He didn't make any mistakes. That's tough. And the scripture says, consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Fix your mind on him. You fix your mind on him and your mind won't faint and run away with you. So, but we also look at Abraham, who is the father of our faith. Why? Because this was a man that I'm telling you, he just went through everything you could think of anybody could go through, and he believed God. Amen. And set an example for us in not being moved by what he saw and not being moved by what he felt. Only moved by what God had said and was fully persuaded that God was able to perform what he said. And that's our example.
Everyone's learning how to DIY, do it yourself. They're occupied in a makeover of houses and landscapes. But what's God's greatest tool for you to change your life and circumstances? Faith. Kenneth Copeland's classical foundational teaching series, Faith, How It Works, takes you down to the foundations of what this power principle is all about. Message by message, you'll discover why faith is the starting point for change in your life. It's what you can use for everything, including knowing God's will, tackling the impossible, believing for your circumstances to turn around, and keeping focused on God's promises to you. With faith as the rock-solid foundation for your life, you'll be able to stand no matter what comes your way. You can remain secure not in what you see or what you feel, but in the promises of God that never fail. Get started on your do-it-yourself project and build faith in your life, because faith in God and His Word works. Order Kenneth Copeland's teaching, Faith, How It Works, for just $14 and receive this 4-CD series at a special 30% savings. Faith, How It Works will help you conquer any temptation or sickness and overcome every financial need so you can live a full and successful life. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order your series online. For more ministry resources available to you from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, go to kcm.org.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Pearsons. Now, what a powerful message you and I have heard today by my grandfather, Kenneth Copeland. And we are learning that all things are possible to who? Them that believe in God, them that'll take God at His Word, and you'll soon find out there's nothing too hard for you because There's nothing too hard for the God that is in you, and greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. But you must be refuse to be moved by what you see, refuse to be moved by what you feel. Instead, be fully persuaded that God is able, and He's able to perform. He's able to make all grace abound towards you. Now, in today's product that I want to make available to you, you're going to learn how to get in your place and learn how faith works. Faith, How It Works is a series by my grandfather, Kenneth Copeland, and it's just a tool to help you build that image of the Word of God in you. You need to understand that faith comes by hearing, and hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And when you speak the Word of God, you find it in His Word, you get it in your heart, and it comes out of your mouth, then faith in God and faith in His Word is released, and that's when things begin to change in your life. So order your CDs and begin living in that victory that God has planned for you. Amen? Now, Brother Copeland has said that for 2011, you and I are going to have faith in God. And for the household of faith, everything is going to be all right. Now take that and apply it to every situation in your life. You've got things that are presenting themselves as challenges. You look them right in the eye and you say, no, I have faith in God and this is going to be all right. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, partners, for joining us today. Thank you for the part you play in this ministry. We're so thankful that God has connected us with you and you with us, and everything that He's doing through Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, He is doing through you all over the world. We thank God for it. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you, God loves you. We love you. And like Kenneth and Gloria Copeland always say, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on KCM, visit kcm.org. Online, you'll find free ministry resources to help you live every day in faith. Receive God's promise that everything is going to be all right. Come to these exciting meetings. The Southwest Believers Convention will be the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Join Kenneth Copeland for the Venezuela Victory Campaign in Maracaibo, Estado de Zulia, Venezuela, August 26th and 27th. Live It East Coast Faith Conference with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher, September 16th and 17th in Secaucus, New Jersey. For more information, go to kcm.org. No matter where you are, if you have internet access, you are seconds away from life-changing answers thanks to the power of search at kcm.org. It's easy. Just find this keyword search block, enter a word, speaker name, topic, or scripture. Search gives you instant 24/7 access to more than 40 years of revelation and inspiration from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Try keyword search today at kcm.org. Next Sunday on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
This is an answer to a lot of religious problem that people have with coming boldly to the throne of grace.